Welcome to Product Mastery Now, where we simplify the seven knowledge areas for product mastery. These are the areas that help you as a product manager or leader really accelerate in your field, developing better products and helping your team excel as well, along with your organization. To see all seven knowledge areas, as well as assess your strengths in each of the product mastery areas, simply go to my website, that's productmasterynow.com. I'm Chad McAllister, a product management professor and practitioner, and your host for this podcast. Also, I recently wrote a book with two other co-authors about the seven knowledge areas for product mastery. Wiley published that in conjunction with PDMA, and it's called The Product Development and Management Body of Knowledge, a guidebook for product innovation training and certification. You'll find that on my website as well. The knowledge area I'm sharing this episode is portfolio management. I'm doing a series on all seven of the knowledge areas, and this episode is all about portfolio management. And if you're a product VP or senior leader, you already know why portfolio management is important, but if you're a product manager, maybe you're not used to this area so much yet, this knowledge area, and I hope to convince you that you also need to understand the essentials of portfolio management, and then I'll discuss some of those essentials that product managers and leaders should know. The first reason to understand portfolio management is when you understand it, you can better position your ideas, which will help you get support for your ideas. This builds on some of the information from the last episode when we looked at strategy and how strategy helps you accomplish that as well. And a related reason is when your project faces competition for resources, you can better defend those resources that your project needs. It's pretty common for organizations to have limited resources for projects, and understanding portfolio management will help you and your organization keep those resources on the project that are most important that need them. And hopefully that's one of your projects and you keep the resources that you need as well. And another reason is that product managers are poised to be leaders in the organization. There's many reasons for that. We've talked about some before, but you're a very cross-functional individual responsible for revenue generation of the organization, for those that future revenue by making the existing products better and creating new products that create value for your customers. And consequently, becoming a product leader, maybe a CPO, chief product officer, or product VP, or in another leadership role, is a very good fit for product managers. So you'll want to understand the organization's portfolio and how to manage that. So now that you know why understanding portfolio management should be important to you, let's discuss some of the essential elements. Let's start by addressing what is portfolio management. And to provide some context, I like this quote from Peter Drucker. And he shared, because the purpose of business is to create a customer, the business enterprise has two and only two basic functions, marketing and innovation. Marketing and innovation produce results. All the rest are costs. So management guru Peter Drucker shining the light on innovation and marketing as the focus of all organizations, because everything else doesn't create value for the customer. Everything else are simply costs of the organization. So given those two functions of a business, there was another quote I really enjoyed from Paul Bellevue. He's a product management guru and was the editor on a couple of the initial books from PDMA. And he shared there are two ways for a business to succeed at new products, doing projects right and doing the right projects. So how do we know what the right projects are? Well, that is what portfolio management is all about. Doing the right projects, selecting those projects that are important for the organization. Now, the complete knowledge area for portfolio management addresses that topic, right? What is portfolio management? And we'll get into that in just a moment, but also many other topics. And if you're looking at this on YouTube, you'll see the slides that I'm showing right now. I should have mentioned that earlier. This podcast is also available on YouTube in a video format. And for the series, I'm kind of doing them as a masterclass with slides that convey some of the concepts I'm talking about. But this knowledge area addresses, obviously, what is portfolio management, how to maximize the value of a portfolio, how to align a portfolio with the strategy of the organization, then how to select the right products for development for that portfolio, and how to go about balancing the projects that are in the portfolio, what is the right number of projects that an organization should be pursuing for the resources available, and then some of the dynamic processes involved with new portfolio management, not just creating the portfolio, but managing the portfolio, portfolio governance, and then some overall benefits of portfolio management as well. We're going to focus just on the first couple topics, right? including what is portfolio management. Let's start with what is a portfolio. And you can think of that as a set of projects or products that a company is investing in and making strategic trade-offs against. So a portfolio is simply a collection of projects which may or may not be related with each other. Sometimes we call a program those projects that are related, and a portfolio is structured differently. We'll talk about structures in a moment. But that they are managed together in a strategic manner, managed together for the benefit of the organization. The set of projects and products can be categorized in different ways. For example, some should come from ideas for new products, new to the organization. Others are enhancements to existing products that create more value for customers, making our existing products better. And some are fixes to existing products, such as input from customers or customer service about errors that we need to correct. And another way of thinking about it might be some projects coming from research and development to solve some new problems that need to be taken care of. Portfolio management is informed by the organization's strategy. And this is why we focused on strategy in the last episode. It strives to prioritize the right projects and products based on strategy. That's what we're trying to accomplish in portfolio management. And it seeks to create a balance between the various product management projects. This is another way that we can think about portfolio management, that it's not only about doing the right projects, that's certainly important, but it's also a decision-making process, specifically a process where the business list of active projects is continuously reviewed. That's the management part of portfolio management, and we're revising it for the benefit of the organization. It's not just that planning activity, but others as well. It's that ongoing management aspect. And the figure I'm showing now really provides a good overarching picture of portfolio management and the role that it plays in the organization. And I'll talk through it if you're just listening. The projects that need to be considered are on the left-hand side, and these are categorized by type of project. The stage of project is important, and that begins from ideation, then extends to the end of life of that project. And the relationship to individual project execution, which involves balancing those available resources, that's a key aspect of portfolio management, is we are allocating resources across a number of projects and trying to do so wisely across the portfolio. And also there's a reliance on performance metrics and monitoring and controlling that helps us to understand where resources are needed and at times maybe even prune projects that are in the portfolio and redirect our resources to more valuable areas. And along with that is a linkage to financial planning and resource management aspects to make sure we're using corporate resources, company resources well. Some essentials of this include that portfolio management is a decision-making process operating in a dynamic-making environment. It's also projects are existing at different stages of completion. Some are brand new to the portfolio, brand new to the organization. Others are existing products that we are working on, for example, making incremental improvements to. And then portfolio management is used to increase the overall odds of success across the full range of projects or products. Unfortunately, not every product is going to be successful that the organization creates, and having a portfolio is a way of de-risking the overall output of the organization. So another aspect is that portfolio management is used to look at the resources that are limited, as I mentioned a moment ago. Every organization has limited resources, and portfolio management gives us the tools to make the best use of those resources, assuming we don't have too many projects going on, which is something that portfolio management helps us with. And there are four high-level goals that take place in portfolio management described by Bob Cooper. And Bob Cooper has been a very influential researcher and professor and practitioner helping companies do a better job innovating for a long time now. Bob is in his 80s and still helping companies and helping individuals get better at this product innovation work. He was one of the people involved initially in the start of PDMA, the association that we developed the book for on these seven areas. And that's the Product Development Management Association. And that's because, if you haven't heard me share the story before, there was a group of researchers that were recognizing there were some common practices across organizations, and they wanted to bring that information to other companies. And they recognized that if they could create an association where they taught what they were learning from the research of companies to practitioners, that would be a very easy way to get that done. And that was how PDMA got started way back in 1998. 1976. So there's been a lot of research done over the last about 50 years on how can we do a better job creating products? And that's what these seven knowledge areas are about. Okay, so I got off a little bit, but these areas of high-level goals in portfolio management, as described by Bob Cooper, first up is value maximization. Think of this as the allocation of resources to maximize the value of the portfolio itself, right? This is the sum of the commercial worth of the individual projects, what they add up to, accounting for some risk in that portfolio. And then balance is another characteristic. A goal of the portfolio is to achieve the right balance of the right projects in terms of some predetermined criteria. I'll give you some ideas for criteria in a moment, such as projects that are, you know, from new ideas for products versus enhancements to existing products. We'll look at some specific frameworks. And then also strategic alignment. This ensures that the overall portfolio continues to reflect the business strategy and that investments and projects align with strategic objectives. And then another goal of the portfolio is to have the right number of projects, right? I said this a few times. We want to ensure that the resources and the focus are not spread too thinly, that most companies, unfortunately, most companies are faced with too many projects in their portfolio, and there needs to be a balance. There was one organization that I worked with that I very much love this organization, but the average person involved in innovation sort of projects, product projects, was working on 12 at one time, and not managing projects, but actually getting the work done on 12 different projects at one time. And that's just a struggle, right? When I talked to the individual employees doing that work, they were very candid to say, we don't get anything done, right? By the time we work on one project, we have to move to another one. We just never have enough time to really get anything done. And it's very much hindering us. So the number of right projects, pretty important for us. And then think about another goal as sufficiency, that overall, what we want is all of this coming together to result in sufficiency, meaning that the financial objectives meet with the portfolio, that all this is viable in a sense. Okay, so that was a lot of information. Let me just review some of the characteristics of portfolio management that you should keep track of, some of the essentials here. So portfolio management is effectively a decision-making process within a dynamic environment that requires ongoing review. It is a decision-making process that requires ongoing review. Another aspect is that portfolio management involves projects that are at different stages of completion, right? Some of them are going to be brand new that we're working on. Some are going to be almost ready for launching if we have a new product. Some are going to be in the marketplace now that we are having to maintain a competitive advantage in the marketplace. And consequently, because they're at different stages, some of this work deals with future events, right? There's no certainty of success, but we use portfolio management to increase the overall odds of success across the full range of those products or the full range of projects in the portfolio at any given time. And the final characteristic to remember is that resources for product development, product management are limited. We all want more, even in very large organizations that are limited, and are often shared with other business functions. Consequently, these resources need to be wisely allocated to achieve the best return to the organization. And another goal is to have alignment with the overall goals of the organization and the innovation strategy. This is essential to successfully implementing those trade-off decisions that we'll have to face so we can make wise allocation of our resources. Let's move on to frameworks for structuring a portfolio. Now that we know some of the essentials of portfolio management itself and the characteristics and goals, as portfolios are created and managed in alignment with the organization strategy, there's several ways that we can construct a portfolio. And one model here that I'm showing on the slide, I introduced very briefly in a previous structure, which categorizes projects by new product ideas, the product enhancements that we would make to existing products, those projects that are just kind of maintaining and supporting our existing products as well, and also research and development sort of projects. So when we need to solve some kind of new technology problem that we're hoping to then use the solution for that in a future project. Another approach to structuring a portfolio could use the innovation landscape. And this is a detailed model that is addressed more in the strategy area of product mastery. But I'll describe it here briefly, this innovation landscape. This simply looks at a 2x2 matrix based on the level of newness of the business model and the newness of the technology. And what we're examining then is if it's, you know, not new business model or a new business model organization or existing technology that the organization is already has put in use or new technology that the organization is adopting. And so that gives us four categories. We think of routine innovation as really just creating the next generation of what we do now, right? The next generation of a product. It's not a new business model. It's not a new way of generating revenue, and it's not using new technology. If it was using new technology, the landscape, innovation landscape model calls that radical, where we're adopting new technology to create value, but an existing business model for the organization. So that might be a pharmaceutical company, right? They're moving on to the next drug therapy, and maybe they're adopting a gene splicing approach that they haven't used before, a new technology. So a radical departure from how they've done things in the past, but they're still providing gene drug therapy, so same business model. If we adjust the business model that is new to the organization, but keep the technology the same, this model calls that disruptive. And these terms, I know they get used in different ways, but this model calls that disruptive. An example would be like Uber, like a ride-sharing service that displaced, right, disrupted taxis, but it's using fundamentally existing technology in the sense that we already have cars, we're just using a ride-sharing model instead, and the app that is needed to be able to make it easy to interact with that is fairly well-known technology still. And then the final category, which would be a new business model and new technology, this model calls architectural, where we're really pushing the boundaries on what has been done in the way that the organization does it. And so at one point, an example would have been digital imaging for Polaroid and Kodak, right? You might be aware of the Kodak story, certainly the giants in film, that they actually had the first patent on the digital camera, and they had that technology, and they did act upon it, and they got themselves displaced in the market because of digital cameras. But at one time, for them, new business model, which was why it was hard for them to adopt, and new technology was several advancements they made with digital imaging. So that would be a way of constructing a portfolio, is recognizing there's different types of innovation. There's lots of models to categorize that. We could pick one of those for creating our portfolio. And then another model is based on the Three Horizons model from McKinsey and Company. And this has been discussed a number of times too. I had the great pleasure of talking to, at the time, the Global Director of Innovation for Caterpillar, the company that makes the large digging machines. And they talked through their portfolio model. And Ken shared the example of using the Three Horizons model in their context. And this is the newer adaptation of Three Horizons, which is based more on need of innovation and less on time frame. And we'll provide a link in the show notes if you want to go listen to Ken talk about this. But the Three Horizons, the first one is to extend the core, to take our core capabilities, what we are good at, and make it a little bit better. It is largely that incremental improvement that we're looking at. Horizon 2 then is developing new opportunities, and this could be a new technology that we might be adopting to make our core stronger, that we're, you know, is a good fit for us. Very likely it's moving to an adjacent market. So we're looking for new opportunities to grow revenue by finding new customers that we haven't reached yet, and then adapting what we do for those new customers. And then Horizon 3 is, in terms of some models, called, you know, creating viable options. The way that Ken described this was, this is the transformational activities that we do. The things that are really past the core of what we are doing today, but they are in alignment with the vision of the organization, where the vision is going. And that might involve pursuing new capabilities, new technologies that we need to be learning about so we can take advantage of them when it makes sense for us to do so. Now, regardless of which model you use, we're talking about some form of classification system to help with the strategic alignment and this prioritization of projects. And one commonly used classification approach is to organize products into four categories. We'll call that breakthrough projects, platform projects, derivative projects, and support projects. And let's address each of these. Breakthrough products are sometimes referred to as that radical or disruptive product that I just mentioned. These type of projects strive to bring a new product to market with new technologies that depart significantly from existing organizational practice and have a higher level of risk. These are the new amazing things customers have not seen before. For example, did you buy the first iPod? I did. It was a breakthrough product from Apple and one that I still have somewhere in a drawer that doesn't get used much, but it was at that time pretty amazing. Platforms produce a set of subsystems and interfaces that can form a common structure for a stream of new products, and then we can efficiently develop other products from that platform. Platforms generally involve more risk than the product enhancements or incremental improvements, but they're generally not as much as a breakthrough, right? So the risk is lower than that. And then once we have the platform, the benefit is the risk is very low for adapting that to a number of products. So remember platforms as those things that make more than one product possible, like, for example, the frame that might be shared between car models, or a software code base that is shared between systems of applications, or maybe a battery system that's shared between product models such as electric vehicles. And then derivative products are spin-offs from other existing products or platforms. They may fill a gap in an existing product line or offer more cost-effective ways of manufacturing or other enhancements and features based on core organizational technology. Generally, these are pretty low risk for the organization to take on. Remember derivative products as new products that are related to existing products that are derived from them. An example would be a smartphone company creating a new earbud that complements their phone product line. Do you have AirPods for your phone? Me too. And that brings us to support projects. And these can be incremental improvements in existing products or improvements in manufacturing efficiency of an existing product. Generally, these are much lower risk for the organization to take on. We can remember support projects as changes or improvements to existing products. The need for the change may come from customer service requests or other sources. We have customers asking for these sort of changes. And this is a good time for an application question for you. So we talked about four categories of products that could be the makeup of a portfolio, right? So we have support products, those things that customers are asking us for, that customer service is finding about problems with the product. Derivative products that extend what we're doing now in a reasonable way, like the AirPods to go with a smartphone. The platform products that once we build a platform, we now have, although it might have some risk involved in building the platform, we now have a very low risk way of creating a number of products from that platform. And then the breakthrough products that are in some way radical and disruptive for the organization, using new technologies and really pushing the boundaries of our core capabilities. It would be useful for you to think through the products in your organization. Where do they sit inside those categories? For most companies, we're going to see a lot of support sort of projects related to your existing products. We'll see some derivative. Organizations, they typically, if they're going to do platform work, have one platform project going. And those sometimes can be really big, long-term projects that take, depending on the context, take a few years to do. And then hopefully, occasionally, an organization is doing a breakthrough sort of product as well. So think about that for your organization, where you would put products, and certainly the products that you're responsible for, into that sort of framework. That can be useful. Okay, let's move on and talk about using portfolio management to align product innovation projects with strategy. Having that alignment is essential. And once again, Bob Cooper has another useful quote for us to share this connection that's important between strategy and portfolio management. And he said, "Portfolio management is a strategic activity. Consequently, it should reflect the strategy of the organization. Without a portfolio management method, strategic criteria for project selection are missing, and there is no strategic direction to the projects selected." Have you ever felt like that in your organization? Like, I don't really know why some projects get selected and others don't. Well, it could be because you're missing an understanding of portfolio management, or it may very well be, as I have seen, we don't actually have portfolio management in place in a clear way that helps everyone understand what that selection process should look like and the criteria and the direction that we're moving to support the vision of the organization. There is more than one way to link a portfolio of projects to strategy. Three common approaches are the top-down model. This is also referred to as the bucket approach, or the bottom-up model, which takes advantage of emerging opportunities, or a combination of both, a hybrid approach. And using any of these ensures that the combination of the projects in the portfolio is optimal in terms of achieving the strategic goals subject to resource constraints. We only can have so many resources. We can only do so many projects. We want to make sure that we are being wise and doing those projects that are strategically important to us. And top-down makes that very clear, very possible. Bottom-up does give us more flexibility to adapt to emerging changes. And so the one you would choose between those, there's going to be a better fit based on the stage of your company. If you're earlier stage, you want to be able to take advantage of opportunities as they present themselves. Top down might be for the larger, more established organization. But interestingly, PDMA, when they do conduct their best practices research to understand what the best innovating companies are doing, across the board, they are more often using a combination approach. They're using that hybrid model to adopt a top-down approach when they do strategic planning and still be flexible to be able to take advantage of opportunities using a bottom-up sort of approach. And I describe each of these approaches and more essential portfolio management concepts in my rapid product mastery training for product managers and leaders. Portfolio management is only one of the seven knowledge areas for product mastery. And together, all seven areas, well, they help product professionals reach the next step of their professional journey. And no doubt, you're listening to this podcast, you already have great experience, and you know some of these pieces because they've helped you do your work before. But understanding all seven areas and their interdependencies between them, that will fill in some of the holes from your experience and equip you to be more effective managing and leading product work. My training program will help you learn all seven knowledge areas, and it prepares you for greater success while also equipping you to earn PDMA's new product development professional certification. And certification is a great way of demonstrating what you have learned and standing out in the field as well. And you know, if you've listened a little bit, I do like the saying that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, and the second best time is now. And you might be thinking, okay, I'm doing okay in my career, right? I can wait. I'll do professional development later when I need it. However, I have never found that to actually be true. That when opportunities present themselves, that you have time then to get prepared for them, that just doesn't work out, right? You need to do the work now for the next step of your career. And this is why so many product professionals do learn these seven knowledge areas. And if you want to get familiar with them, you can go pick up the book that we wrote. You'll find that on the website. There's a book link at the top. But if you really want to dive deeper, the training that I provide is helpful for this, that rapid product mastery training. And one thing I find so interesting is people that take the training, usually they have a fair bit of experience, 5 to 10 years worth of product experience. They know a lot already. But they come back to me after they take it, and they often share how they wish they would have done this sooner in their career, that they could have avoided some mistakes, they could have helped their teams be more successful, help others be more successful, they could have contributed to their organization in more meaningful ways. And those are all really useful things. So now is a good time to take a look at this and not wait, right? Plant the tree today and prepare for the next step of your career by learning those seven knowledge areas for product mastery. And for podcast listeners, I have a 30% discount for you to make this a little bit easier. Now, a lot of companies, they do reimburse for professional training, but if yours doesn't, this 30% discount certainly helps. And even if yours does, you can still use it. Any listener can take advantage of that. Simply go to productmasterynow.com/RPM. That's where you'll find information about this training and also the opportunity to purchase it and get started. And then when you're checking out to pay for the training, just use the code PODCAST. That's all lowercase PODCAST, podcast, to be able to receive that discount. I do want to finish with a quote. I enjoyed this one from the Mosaic browser creator and now VC partner, Mark Andreessen, who shared, "Brand will not save you, marketing will not save you, and account control will not save you. It's the products," right? I thought this was a good book into the quote I started with in the beginning from Peter Drucker, that an organization only has two responsibilities that actually create value. That's marketing and innovation. Innovation is what leads to the products itself. Marketing is what helps us know what to create and also how to make customers aware that we have a solution for them that, creates value for them. So this quote from Mark, that if you want to be successful as an organization, what matters? It's the products. And us as product professionals, as product managers, leaders, and innovators, it is about the products. We know that, and that is the work that we do. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and learning about another of these seven knowledge areas for product mastery. And as always, keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to Product Mastery Now, where product leaders and managers gain product mastery through practical knowledge, influence, and confidence. By listening, you are becoming a product master, creating products customers love. Find additional resources at productmasterynow.com. Keep innovating.